We are in the middle of Siman Tov Kuf Zayin. We are up to Seif Gimel. Seif Gimel is based on a very short Gemara, a one-liner, sort of, in Beitza, on Daf Lam Gimel Amud Aleph. Dorash Rava. Isha lo tikones ledir ha'etim litol mehen ud. She should not go into the wood machzan, I guess, to take out an oud, which is a piece of wood that's used to poke at the fire. Now, Rashi says that this is like Reb Yehuda, and the reason that you know how to do it is because lo nitnu eitzim ela lahasaka, unless you use it to make a kli mibaod yom. Wood is muksa unless it's used for hasaka, which is all discussion Rambam Tur we had in the past, which we're not going to get into again. Now, Tosis is not happy with Rashi's explanation because you're limiting the Gemara to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. He says, V'doicha hulomar da'ashas kaima d'loy kehilchasa. Now, I guess that I know the riff in the Rambam paskin like Rabbi Yehuda on Yontif. I guess Tosis, right? The Ramah has a Yesh Omrim and Tuf Tzadi Yeh, like Reb Shimon, even a Yontif. I'm guessing, based on this Tosis, that Tosis is one of those Rishonim that holds like Reb Shimon, even on Yontif, and therefore you're Mukim the Gemara, Deloike Hilchasa. Now, the Maharsha points out, doesn't really understand Tosis, because it's not, what do you mean, the Gemara, the Shas, Deloike Hilchasa? This is not a Shas. This is a member of Rava. It's a personal opinion of Rava. It's not like the Gemara is giving a stam opinion. Ravina, Ravashi, Masada, the Gemara, they say something stam de lo kehilchasa. It's a member from Rava. And Marsha says he has rayas that Rava takaos like Rav Yehuda. So what was Tosis bother? The kaimi de lo kehilchasa, it's a shita's Rava, like Rav Yehuda, lishita, so finish. Fine. But Tosis disagrees with Rashi. And he understands that this Gemara is even according to Reb Shimon, and that has nothing to do with Muksa. And the reason that it's Aser is because it's Tikune Mana. It's fixing something. Even though, it's fascinating, we'll see, we'll get to in the Mishabura. Even though you're not actually doing anything to the piece of wood, you're taking the wood as is and using it for a purpose which wasn't its original purpose. According to Rashi, it's a muksa, it's not set aside. According to Tosis, it's supposed to be, I guess, a piece of firewood. And it's not muksa. But now when you're using it for a specific purpose, that's called tikun mana, even though you didn't do anything to it. Nafkamina between Rashi and Tosis is, according to the Yesh Omrim in the Ramon, Tav Tzadiyeh. According to the Shita, that there's no problem of muksa, or at least certain types of muksa, on Yantif. So, according to Rashi, it's a din of muksa. So, if you don't hold for muksa on Yontif, if you hold like Reb Shimon, it's going to be mutter. And according to Tosis, it's not a shaila in muksa bichlal, and therefore it's going to be usher even according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's not a muksa shaila, it's a din in tikun mano. Okay, let's see that now in Shulchan Aruch, in Tav Kuf Zayin Seif. Bays. Tav Kuf Zayin Siv Gimel. Okay, sorry. Tav Kuf Zayin Siv Gimel. Where are we? Okay. Tav Kuf Zayin Siv Gimel. Oser likach eitz mi bein ha'etzim nechatos bo ha'esh batanur tahavile misake mono. Not like Rashi, but rather like the Tosis. Tav Kuf Zayin Gimel. Again, oser likach eitz mi bein ha'etzim. You can't take a piece of wood out of your wood storage on Yontif. Lechatos bo ha'esh batanur to poke at the fire in the oven. Because doing so is the habi, the misake mono. It's not a muksa problem like Rashi wanted to say, but rather like Tosis said, it's a tikun mono. Mishabura sifkatun yudalit, also likach eitz, Bein lach, bein yavish, doesn't matter if the wood is wet or dry. That's part of the general discussion about wood being muksa on yantif. Avshe roi hu la soka, even if it's fit for to be used for firewood. V'davka, so it's going to be usher in either case. V'davka imohichinu be'erev yantif, only if you did not designate it on erev yantif to be used for such a purpose. What's the problem? Tikun mana mishabasiv katan tezvav. Vafilo einu mesakno klal tzapela. Even if you don't do anything to this stick, you just take it out of the firewood pile and use it to poke at the fire. Mikomako hare osehu lekli biyantif. You're turning it into a kli on yantif. So in Dirshu footnote 11, they have a discussion about this. Now, there's a Mishnah, the Mishnah in Beitzah, over there, and the same Dalam in Beitzah, I'm giving them a Dalam over there. So this Mishnah is actually a very important Mishnah and Halacha that appears at the end of Hilchos Shabbos and Shin Mem, in terms of Korea and Tikkun Mana, and there they used to put fish on the grill. But if you put it straight on the grill, I guess the metal was so hot, and the fish is delicate, it would burn the fish. So they would put a piece of niyar. The Mishnah, I think it's a Mishnah, says niyar. Cheres, or even paper. Okay, but often the paper was big, so they would cut it, and they would cut it to size. And if you do that on yantif, so then that is tikkun mana. There's a whole discussion about korea, even though it's not almanas litzvah, korea almanas lasake, and it is inherently a tikkun. Machatech, a little discussion over there. I think it's towards the end of Siman Shin Mem. So there, the Dirshu footnote points out, it doesn't say you just took out a piece of paper and now it's tikkun mana because you used it for a different purpose. There, the problem is only when you're cutting it, when you're tearing it. Ha'isr mishum tikkun kli hu rak im osa maisa be'etim adava shekorea etaniyar. But if you just miyache this paper and say, I'm going to use it on the grill to make my fish on yantif, that's not tikkun kli. So why over here, when you take a regular piece of wood that's papashta standing to be firewood and you use it for a different purpose, we're calling it tikkun mana when you didn't misake the mana. You didn't do anything. So he brings that from Rishon Mazalman over here in Shulchan Shlomo. Shulchan Shlomo, there's a Shulchan Shlomo in Hilchas Shabbos, and there's a Shulchan Shlomo in Hilchas Yantif, and Hilchas Chol HaMoed. So it says she came and she also do lasos maisa chitui ba'et she not amenas lachatos. You're gonna use it to poke at the oven. V'ugam maisa choshev u'maisa she'enu motui kol kach. I don't know. I guess it wasn't a common thing to do. Im kein etzem yichud ha'et lachach nira ketikon kli. Just designating it for that purpose on yantif is a form of tikkun kli. Now, where do you draw the line and how far you take that, obviously is not so clear. That's why Rishon Mazalman has to explain the difference between this and the paper that's used on the grill to prevent the fish from burning. Okay, that's Siv Gimel. Siv Dal. Siv Dal is a big one. It's not stuff that we're so familiar with because our ovens work differently. But let's just jump right in. It's a Mishnah, Gemara, Daf, Lamed Beis. Okay. Tanur shenafa lasocho mitiach ha-tit. You have an oven, and part of the oven itself collapsed, whatever. It didn't, I don't say collapsed, but pieces of the wall of the oven, let's say, the tiach, the tar, the pitch, whatever is holding it together, kind of fell in into the fire. Im efshe lefos v'litzos bo v'lo grifa. If you can cook and bake and roast and use the oven properly without raking out this thing, v'lo yitcharech ha'paso atzli, and the bread or the roast is not going to be burnt up, asur l'garfo, then you're not allowed to rake the coals, the fire. Mineishu metalto lo shelo l'tzorech, because you'll be metaltel this thing that fell in shelo litzorech, because it's not a tzorech. You can cook with it there. That's the Mishavish of Sifkot and Tazayin. Tanur shenofal, mayri betanurim shibimei chochmei hashas. We're talking about the ovens of old. Ukid the Messiah in the Kameh, like we'll soon see in the Mechaber. Shehoyu kumo kedera, it was like a pot. V'apasu tochim b'kosei atanur, and they would stick the bread to the walls of the oven. V'im kein ha-gecholim shebekarka atanur, so the coals on the bottom of the floor of the tanur, ein nichon hafsi lapas, they're not going to bother the bread, because the bread is not, is attached to the walls. It's not touching the floor. Rak tiach titul levena shenofel, v'u magid ifam ha-makom she'isa tucha b'kosei v'chorim. But if a piece of the wall of the oven falls in, and now it's sticking up much more than it's supposed to be, so it could reach, let's say, the bread that's busy baking on the walls of the oven. So if you could bake without it, and it's not going to destroy your food, so then you leave it there. I see that graph. Mishu matatu shol tzarech. Mishu bura. Perei umuksa. Da ain't roi the shum davar. It's muksa. It's not roi for anything. And therefore, you can't move it on Yantif. Aval mutil lahashkiv ha'esh. V'ha'eferbo sh'kidei sh'yeh chalak v'lo yiga b'pas klal. Afat b'yishim ha'yino gebo lo haya kidei l'charcho. So there's two things going on here. Okay, that we're going to learn about. One is the problem of moving muksa on Yantif, depending on what fell into this fire over here. And the other is an issue that's going to come up of extinguishing, of kibui. When you play with a fire, you cause part of it to go out, and part of it gets ignited. You know, that's the nature of these coals. Depending on what you do, or maybe whatever you do to it, it causes it to get bigger. That's not a problem on Yom Tov, but part of it is caused to get smaller. Okay, so that we'll see. Now, and there's two types of problems with the oven. One is a problem where it's going to destroy your food. The other, it's not going to destroy the food. It could be it's going to make, you know, it's going to touch your bread, and that one spot on your bread will be a black or will be a little burnt. But it's not going to ruin the bread. It's just going to make a roishim. Make a little mark. So if you could bake, so we said that you can't scrape it out. But what you can is, but you could kind of lower it, like I guess take a shovel, whatever they use, to kind of flatten the fire so that it doesn't touch the bread. Even though if it were to actually touch the bread, it wouldn't destroy the bread, it would just make a mark. As long as it's hot and it's fit to be cooked on, so then it's not muksa. So then I could take my shovel and pat it down. Even to take the afer, if the afer is not, if it's not muksa, so then you should be able to take it out of the oven legamre. Umayish no mashkivim denoka, and that's part of the Mishnah, but why say mashkivim? You can like pat it down. Why can't you just remove it? It's not muksa. If it's hot enough to cook on, so then it's used for cooking on yantiv, so it's not muksa on yantiv. Vechei muchach besmag, the efsher mishum diyesh eish ba'efer ubegrifa, so efer yich ba'esh could be that now we're moving out of a muksa problem, and we're moving into a kibui, an extinguishing problem. Now, what about when you pat it down with the shovel? So it says if you pat it, you can pat it down gently with a shovel, and it's not going to extinguish the fire at all, as opposed to actually shoveling it out. That's going to make it go out. Okay, how do the El Siman Tov? Even if it's just Afer, you know how to take it out. Maybe it's considered Tikkun HaTanur to take out some of these, the Afer that you don't want there. Meaning it's just something that you want to do, but it's not really necessary. You can manage fine with it there, and therefore tzirchi yiseir the Chazal don't want you doing on Yontif. Mishabura Sifkat on Yutas, and we said, if it's not going to destroy the bread, it's just going to make a mark on the bread, whatever, so then I can't rake it out, but I can kind of pat it down. Even though if it were to touch the bread, it wouldn't be a big deal. Mishnah Berurah says, if cutting your test, the miyocho lachra chapas, but if it can actually like burn up the bread and destroy it, make the bread not edible, I feel grifos hatizmutu. So then I'd actually be allowed to scrape it. Now we're talking about where it can make a mark, but it's not going to destroy your bread. You can't be goref, you can't rake it out, but you can pat it down to keep it from even touching the bread, even making that mark. Aval continues the machaber. Im yesh batit shenafa l'tocho kedei l'charech hapaso atzli im hayonu gebem. But if it's strong enough, hot enough, that it would actually destroy your food. Av api shebelo grifa. Hayefsher lefos l'tosbo. But even if you would not rake it out, you could bake in such an oven. You could cook in there. Okay, I think it means like this. It's hot enough that if it were actually to touch the food, that you touch the bread that you're baking in there, it would ruin the bread. So you could bake in there without raking it out. But since if it were to touch the food, it would ruin the food. It's considered total tzorach. Even though I guess it doesn't. I think that's what it's saying. It doesn't have to touch the food, and therefore it doesn't have to ruin the food. Let's see. Mishmasiv kada chafalav. Ukifish really common soap sim and tough kuf test baga. The mutu l'talto muktzah l'tzorach ochel nefesh. If I need to get to my food drawer. My food on Yontif, and there's something muksa in front of it. On Yontif, I'm allowed to move the muksa in order to get to the food. So that's the same thing over here. I can move the muksa in order to properly bake my bread. The kasa posim. The kasa b'shenafel hatiach hayom. That's if it fell down on Yontif. Or right before Yontif, and he didn't know about it, or he didn't have time to deal with it. Shlo hayal ushus l'sakno. But if I could have taken care of it on Erev Yontif, and I forgot to take care of it, then also ligrov. Then I'm not allowed to scrape it out. If I could have taken care of it on Erev Yontif, I shouldn't take care of it on Yontif itself. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so I guess if it's touching the bread, it could in fact ruin it. But it's possible to make sure that it doesn't touch the bread. Still, that's enough that that's still considered the tzorach ochel nefesh, and you can remove it. V'davka b'tanurim shalahem, only those ovens in the olden days, shu medabkim apas vivam, they would stick the bread to the walls of the oven. V'ein tzrichim l'garfam, and they don't need to rake it out. The ain't tzrichim agar from elamihat tiach shenafal asocho, only from the tiach shenafal asocho. Aval tanurim shalanu kevan shei efshel efas mamblo grifa, but our oven, says the machaber, 500 years ago, where they were baking on the floor of the oven already. So now you can't have stuff on the floor of the oven. That will prevent you from properly cooking and baking in the oven. Then mut the gar from my afer vagacholim. You're allowed to scrape it out and rake it out. Afal pi shu machabe. Even though there'll be some extinguishing going on when you take out the stuff that fell off the, out of the oven, off the walls of the oven. Ef shar belokein. Let's see. Mishu b'sif kat hachabe. Dafke batanurim. Halashon megumgum ktsas. Uberosh, Shemi Menu Novea Dram Elu Isakain, the Lo Yitir Chacham the Garif Elatiach Shel Tanur Durak Tilto Muksa. They only let you be Megarif the Tiach of the Tanur that fell off, because that's Tilto Muksa, but not the coals. Of a Legarif Gecholim Debali, they Kiboy Deze, but to rake the coals which will cause them to be extinguished, that Lo Yitiru. That the Chazal did not allow. The chozibat tanurim shalem. That's in the olden days tanurim. Shumidabking a pas because le hatanur. they didn't need the floor of the oven because they only baked on the walls of the oven. Now, I don't know what they did about other food. Maybe they put it on top. I don't know. Here, let's deal with bread for now, as the Mishnah Berurah does. They put the bread on the walls of the oven. They didn't put it on the floor of the oven. So anything that falls on the bottom or the coals on the bottom are not going to burn the bread. The bread's not near them. The bread's on the walls. It might singe it a little bit. It might, put a mark on it. Okay, it's not going to be the prettiest bread, whatever. It's not going to be the spitz. But it's going to be good enough.
They
did not allow you to rake the coals and cause them to be extinguished just to prevent that little bit of whatever happens to the coals touching the bread. But our ovens where we bake on the floor of the oven, then even coals you'd be allowed to rake, even if it causes them to get extinguished, because you can't bake at all without clearing out the oven floor. Zel tochen divrei Rosh v'cheinu kavanas ha-mechabe. Okay, or on top. Yeah, okay. Okay, so in the olden days, ovens, they didn't need the floor. The fact that something fell on the floor wasn't such a big deal. And you could leave with it. If you can't live with it, then you could take it out. If you can live with it, then you can't take it out. You could pat it down. V'dafka b'tanurim shalem, the olden tanur. But nowadays, you can't bake without it. So therefore, you're even allowed to extinguish. Kev and she'ev shalefos behem below grifo. Since it would be impossible to bake without doing this raking. Mishabrisiv katachav gimo, hainu shetisa reif. It will burn your food. But if it's a big oven and the coals are on one side and you can bake on the other side, only if it's something very significant. Just it shouldn't overdo the challahs or make a little burn on it. That's not enough to be raking coals. You left with the little coals. We need tzotzos that it's not going to burn the bread, but it's not so gishmak. Right where it touches the bread, it might burn it a drop. That's not good enough. Also, the garf from Pam Shnia, you can't rake out the small coals. Mishum kibui. So the kibui would be mutter when it's necessary for the actual cooking, but not when it's just to prevent it from getting slightly overdone or slight burn marks, stuff like that. Continues the Mechaber. What do you say again? Tanurim shelanu kevin she'ev shelefos ben below grifo mutter the garfo meha efer v'agicholim afapi shehu mechaber, even though he's mechaber, e efshar below chen. U'kishem shemutter lehavir letzorech ochal nefesh, and just like it's mutter to burn it letzorech ochal nefesh, just like you're allowed to raise a fire for ochal nefesh, you're allowed to, sounds like, lower the fire, or even put out the fire for ochal nefesh. This is, the application of this is not so pashut. He says, "Vareze kimeiniach basar ala gecholim v'chein nagu." If I put a piece of meat straight on the coals to get that coaly grilled taste, on Yantif, when I put the meat on the coals, touching the coals, it's going to put out, in some places on the coals are going to be extinguished. And yet we see that is mutter. So he says, you see that for ochal nefesh, you're allowed to do kibui. Extinguishing. Mishabur sifkatan chav hei. Kimeiniach baso agabi gecholim litzloso, to roast it on the coals itself. Okay, lowering the fire when the food is on the stove. We'll get there. We'll get there in a minute. It's not so pushy. Let's see. So even though when you put the meat on the coals in the beginning, it's extinguishing them, it's still going to be mutter because it's tzorach ochal nefesh. Now, Dirshu here in footnote 20 points out that if something's in danger of burning your food, you're not allowed to put out the fire. And the Mishnah Berurah over there, it comes up in Siman Tov, Kuf, Yud, Dalet, which we will get to, Bezrat Hashem, in a few weeks. So there's a difference between lowering a fire to enable you to have better food, or just lowering a fire because the fire is just going to ruin your food, and you need to get rid of the annoying fire. Is it helping in the actual cooking, or yeah, I'll read it to you. Kibui habakat eno mesaye klum lahashbachat ha'ochel, ela rak mon'o mikilkul. You're just preventing it from burning. That's worse than over here where you're putting the meat directly on the coals. That's how you're cooking it. That's how you're cooking. The act of cooking involves some extinguishing. So if you can't cook without extinguishing the coals, that would be okay. But if it's in the way and it causes a problem, so that's not so pushy. So I'll read to you what Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohen writes. Okay. Food cooking on a stove and the fire, you need to lower the fire. The fire is too high. Okay. So he says that's considered a direct necessity for the preparation of the food. You'd be allowed to lower the fire. That's the first thing he says. However, this is some poskim rule that this leniency applies only where the option of lighting a new lower flame is not available. Let's say I have, like my parents used to have in the olden days, you have a pilot light and you did not have an electric starter. So on Yontif, you're allowed to turn on all four gas burners. You're allowed to turn them all on. You're not creating the flame. There's a pilot light. The flame's already there. You're just opening the gas and making the pilot light go bigger. So I have four flames. So now I'm cooking on one. And now I need to lower the flame. So why do I need to lower the flame? Because it's going to ruin the food. So it sounds like if I have no other option, I'd be allowed to lower the flame. But if I can just turn on a different burner on a lower flame, it's easier to do Havara than to do Kibui. Even though it doesn't sound that way so much from the Mechaber over here, although there is an important Bir Halacha, which makes us dependent on different girses in the Gemara. But let's see what it says over here. Some poskim rule that this leniency applies only where the option of lighting a new lower flame is not available. Like if you have an electric starter and you're not allowed to light the other flame. If, however, it is possible to turn on a new flame, okay, in a way that's mutter, one may not lower the existing flame but should start a new lower flame. So you're going to have one flame, two flames, you're going to end up in the stove's going to, all four burners are going to be on. Then he says, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it is permitted to lower an existing flame to prevent food from burning, even if one could start a new flame instead. So Rav Moshe is makel regardless, but many poskim are not makel. Now let's say you left the fire on, now you finished cooking, and now I have the fire on. It makes the kitchen terribly hot. It's also dangerous, but let's just say it makes the kitchen terribly hot. So this is a famous, famous kunz. So there for sure you can't lower the fire because it's not ochal nefesh anymore. You finished with the ochal nefesh. So they talk about if you want hot water. If you don't want hot water, you know how to cook water. But you can put up a pot of water that you plan on using, fill it to the top, have the water overflow, and that puts out the flame, and there goes the flame. It's like a famous, he brings it down over here, Rabbi Cohen. I've heard it, Rabbi Ackerman has spoken it over in shul. It's a famous thing brought down in the poskim, that the grumma was, it would be okay. Rabbi Cohen brings this down from Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, Yud Gimel, Yud Gimel. to do it by way of a grama. Okay, so according to Ramosha, you're allowed to lower the flame in order to help with the cooking. According to many other poskim, you're not allowed to do that if you have another flame that you could light. I think in the olden days it was very common to have another flame that you could light, because in the olden days they had pilot lights and we didn't have electric starters. Nowadays, where everything is more mishuchlal and fancier and more halachically complicated and everything is now electric and this and that, so then it would sound like, now if the thing itself is electric, that's also, that would not be acceptable. You can't raise and lower an electric it is forbidden to extinguish or lower the setting of an electric heating element for any purpose. And I have a feeling he says the same thing about lighting it. Okay, I don't see where he talks about the electric thing. Okay, we'll get back to you on that. Okay, it needs, we'll touch this up tomorrow, the whole kibui anyantiv, because it's something that's very relevant and something that comes up a lot. So that was a kitza version of Tof, Kuf, Zayin, Gimel, and Dalet.